Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. Well, we've all become closer with our computers here over the last year, and Zoom calls and all the different things, and working from home. And so we thought we would bring our good friend in, Scott Hinkey. Scott has done our work on our computers for years. It is On-Site Consulting. They're located at 6446 Hamden Avenue. The number is 720-482-8383. Scott, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Scott.
Come on up to that mic a little bit.
Okay.
All right. And, man, thanks for taking care of mine the other day. I needed a fan replaced. It sounded like a lawnmower there going on. So, man, sounds quiet now. So, thank you. Great service over there. All right. So, man, I was asking you before we came on here how long you've been doing this now with On-Site Consulting. In 39 years.
39 long years.
Wow. That's crazy. So, when you look back and when you first started there in the early 80s then to now, I mean, what's changed the most in just what you're dealing with computers?
Well, when I first started, it was way back in high school. I had a couple part-time jobs being in high school and working on things. And the only problem with computers back then was the power button to the computer didn't work. Okay. After a year, your power button stops working. And maybe somebody scratched your floppy disk. And that was it. There's no other problems in the world. And those were easy things that you can, you know, navigate through. But nowadays, especially with COVID, there's so many things that are coming, hitting us, just almost like a hurricane, that you don't even know, is this the truth? Is it a scam? Am I supposed to push this button or push that button? So, yeah. You know, we've been doing this for 39 years. We have almost 10,000 clients that call us, and a lot of them are silly questions, like, do I have a Mac? do I have, if my internet doesn't work, does my email still work? You know, things like that. Right. And we answer a lot of those questions, you know, we were all there. You know, I didn't know email 25 years ago. So, you know, we all help people out with a lot of stuff. But nowadays, there's just so many things that keep coming at us. We're not sure, are we supposed to push that button or not? So that's what we help people do.
Yeah. And, man, you look back at how big just computers were and the big monitors and how heavy. And now, man, there's so many options for us in there.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. The monitors used to be about 70 pounds. You know, a 17-inch monitor, which was the biggest monitor you could get, was about 70 pounds. And now a 17-inch monitor is 10 pounds, and that's a small monitor compared to some of the ones you have here in the studio and a lot of ones people have at home right now.
Right. All right, so what are you seeing mostly in your shop now? What are the biggest problems with our home computers and even office computers?
Yeah, there's two major ones. As I thought about that, the biggest one is Windows 10 updates. Now, it's kind of like a car recall. When you get a car and you get a little message to say your car's been recalled, you should go take it in and go get it serviced. And chances are your car's not going to crash if you don't do that recall, but the good idea is you're supposed to do it. So Windows 10 comes out with updates at least once a week. Okay, they used to be calling it Patch Tuesday. Every Tuesday they would send out these patches for your computer. And those are like a car recall, so you're supposed to do it. But sometimes they actually are the opposite. They'll cause the opposite effect. It'll crash your computer. Your antivirus program won't work. Your wireless won't work. So we see a lot of those issues with updates. Now, the problem is that you have to do the updates because 99% of the time, it's a good thing. It's that 1% that it's not a good thing. And you never know if you're the lucky person that gets that 1%. But I think the way to get around that is to constantly restart your computer about once a week. You know, some people, especially in offices, they'll just leave it on 24/7 for years. So they never go to restart. Well, the restart helps your computer apply those updates that it just got last week and then refresh it and puts all your files away and starts it all back up. So restarting your computer once a week avoids a lot of issues. And I'll say for some people, and I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but some people don't know how to restart a computer. I've had people that don't know that the on button is the same as the off button on a computer, that you push the same button. They push it on, but they don't know where the off button is because they've never turned off their computer.
Sure.
So, you know, you got to go to the little icon. If it's a Mac or a PC, you got to go to that icon in the right-hand corner and go up to restart, and that'll put everything away, brings everything back up, you know, especially if you're having some power outages, like if there's a brownout in the neighborhood in the summer or the winter, whenever, if there's having some electrical issues, you should shut down your computer. So that way the power spike doesn't fry the motherboard and fry stuff like that. So
Okay. Now, you say Mac and PC. Those are two different worlds, aren't they?
They are drastically different worlds. And usually people don't like the other one. It's kind of like the dark side of the Force and the Jedis. They don't like – they think the other one's the wrong party. But Macs tend to be a lot easier. You know, Macs came before Windows. Okay. It wasn't that Mac copied Windows. It was the other way around. Windows copied Mac. And Steve Jobs and Bill Gates were friends in a garage back in the, what was it, 60s or 70s. And they decided to make these companies, and they went different directions. You know, Steve Jobs created it that he wanted to be more customer-focused and have control over everything. So he would control the software and the operating systems and the updates, and everything's under one company, like it still is today. Apple has a lot of control over it. Bill Gates said, hey, why don't we just license this? We don't have to make computers. We have to create the software and let other people make the computers. So he licensed it, made a lot more money. But then there's a lot more room for fraud, glitches. If you think about it, turning on your computer, there's about 10 companies involved just to get your computer to start up. Hmm. You've got Windows. You've got the company Dell that put all the parts together. You got somebody who made the memory. Somebody made the hard drive. Somebody made the processor, like Intel. And you're hoping that when you push the on button, it all works. Well, with Mac, it's all under one company. So things usually tend to work a little bit easier with a Mac. So that's the big difference between Macs and PCs.
Right. So is it a big learning curve for someone that's been on a PC their whole life to understand Mac? I mean, what are some shortcuts to understanding it?
We tell people it takes about a half an hour with somebody who knows how to run a Mac. It doesn't take that long. There is a learning curve, but it's not like learning French or German or something. It's like, you know how to speak English, just a half an hour, and we're going to get you to speak German. So you just sit with somebody, and for those of you who have experience with both computers, so Mac has the toolbar or the menu bar at the top. It has a picture of an apple in the upper left, and you push the thing, and the little menu bar pops down, and you got the time in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. On a PC, Bill Gates just thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to create something entirely different. I'm going to put the toolbar on the bottom of the screen. And it's the same toolbar. You got the icon in the bottom left-hand corner that when you click it, it goes up. And then you've got whatever's open is in the middle. And then you got the time on the right-hand side. It's the same toolbar. And when you think about it that way, it's not that big of a change. You know, in Windows, when you close the screen, you got the three boxes on the upper right-hand corner, like an X and a minimize and a maximize. On a Mac, they're on the upper left-hand corner of a window. So there. You just got 10 minutes of a Mac thing, and you're halfway through understanding how a Mac works. So it's not that hard to switch between the two.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about malware and all the different programs that are out there. And what should – and would it be right to say it this way? What should everyone have on their computer, or what should most people have on their computer?
I think everybody – okay, well – let me clarify first. So malware, the word mal is bad. Like I think it's Greek or Spanish or something. And malware means bad software. So as opposed to a virus is intentionally going to do something bad to you. It's going to, and we've seen this before, erase all of your files or encrypt all of your files with a password or hide all of your files. One time I had a client, it made your files on the desktop jump out of the way when you put your mouse on top of it. So you can never click on an icon. When you put your mouse on the icon, it jumped to the right, which was an annoying virus. But viruses just were disruptive and tried to cause problems. Well, those people got a little smarter and said, you know what, why don't we do something that makes us money? So they put the same kind of things on a computer. They're not really hurting you. They're just going to annoy you the rest of your life with a pop-up that says, you need to buy this. Your computer needs to go faster. We see a lot that say, your McAfee or your Norton have to be renewed, click here, and they don't have it, and they've never had it. But when somebody sees something that pops up on the screen, they think it must be official, so I better click on there and start to do it. So malware is like a virus, but it's not really malicious. It's just really annoying, and we see 90% more of that than we do viruses nowadays. So malware, what you want to get, there's a free program called Malwarebytes. So I told you malware is bad, but bytes is like it's biting the malware. It's M-A-L-W-A-R-E, malware, and bytes has a Y in it, B-Y-T-E-S, malware bytes. And it's a free program. Of course, with everything with computers, they give you the free thing, and they're going to try to get you to buy the $45 a year package, which is also really good. But you put malware bytes on there, and it goes on a Mac or a PC.
Okay.
Okay, so either one does have spyware. 10 years ago, we hardly ever saw viruses and spyware on a Mac. Now we see them about 25% of the time compared to PCs. So it is getting on there, and everybody should download this program called Malwarebytes. Absolutely free. You can go online and Google it. You install it, and the free version is reactive. That means it's not going to prevent the viruses from getting on your computer. When you pay, it'll prevent it. But the free one, you just run it every once in a while, and you will be surprised at how many items you'll see on there. I mean, I just ran something on a computer this morning, 250 programs on a computer, and the guy didn't even complain that there was anything on the computer. He didn't even know these were on there. But a quick five-minute scan with this program found 250 programs. One button will just wipe them all off. So Malwarebytes is something everybody on the planet should have.
Okay. And then what are some of the other, are there any other programs? Like you said, that Norton and all that. Yeah. What are those?
So Norton and McAfee are two popular American antivirus programs. Okay, everybody's heard about them for years, and we all think that they're the best ones because we live in America, and we hear about that name all the time, McAfee and Norton. And those previously were free. So if you have AOL, Comcast, and CenturyLink, they usually come free. But now those companies are not giving it to you for free. So a lot of people are having to switch from that to something else. And we're getting a lot of calls like, well, what do we switch to? What's the next best one? A lot of the good ones are ones from Europe, because Europe is where they make the viruses anyway. You've got some guy in some country in one apartment making the virus, and the guy in the apartment next door is the guy that works for the company that removes the virus. Europe is a big virus hotspot.
Really? Okay.
So a lot of the ones you've never heard, and I'll name a couple of them. ESET is the one we recommend, ESET. That's a big one recommended by Micro Center, the big computer store in Colorado, too. They have one called Bitdefender and F-Secure and names that you've never heard in the United States. But those are the really good comprehensive one. Kaspersky is from Russia, I think, somewhere. And so anyway, you need an antivirus program, too. So don't rely on the Windows 10 free antivirus. There's one that's built into every copy of Windows 10 called Windows Defender that is, I hope I don't get phone calls because Microsoft does have a big office in Denver, but it is probably the worst antivirus program I've ever seen in my life. We can have a computer that's 100% infested with thousands of viruses, and the Windows Defender will say, oh, everything's fine. There's no viruses on here at all. It'll tell you there's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And we run one of these other things, Malwarebytes, ESET, and we'll find thousands of viruses on a computer. So I would never rely on the Windows 10 free antivirus that comes with it called Windows Defender. I would get a paid one.
Okay. So are there things that we should, if you have these proper
protection
here, is that something that it's automatically done with the computer? And again, important to turn it off and on? Or is there something that we should go in every few days and run to make sure it's doing it?
Well, every antivirus program should be running on its own. So a long time ago, you actually had to push a button that said scan. But nowadays, it should update and scan automatically on your computer. Now, the Malwarebytes, the free one, you have to manually run it if you get the free one, because that's, if you pay for it, you don't have to think about it. But if you get the free version, you have to open it up, giant blue button says scan, and it'll find some stuff in 5 minutes, and you just erase it. Okay, so that's the one that you have to manually do. But most antivirus programs, you should it should run by itself.
Okay. Scott Hinke is with us. Once again, it is OnSite Consulting. They're located at 6446 Hamden Avenue. Their number is 720-482-8383. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some scams, and we're going to spend some time here because there's a lot of them out there. And, hey, maybe with this pandemic, you've had to jump into computers, and you don't know a lot about your computer. Scott's going to help us out with maybe some different ways you can learn about them. And then also we'll talk about how they do their service, and a lot of times they can help you remotely. So we'll discuss that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Scott Hinke is our guest today, OnSite Consulting. Again, they're located at 6446 Hamden Avenue, 720-482-8383. And I will tell you, my wife and I, we've used Scott for a number of years for our computer help, and they have always provided excellent, excellent customer service. So if you need some help, we highly, highly recommend them. All right, Scott. Boy, you want to talk about stress and wear and tear on people. This last year has been one of the most stressful years of all of our lives.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point of scams. And by that, I mean we're all, you know, working on computers, probably even late at night, and all of a sudden something pops up or we get an email, hey, your computer needs this, or your email's not going to work right if you don't do this, and we just click on it and we just want to get a solution to it. But yeah. There are a million scams out there, aren't there?
There are. And every week there's something new that I didn't hear about last week. And I think the whole thing with COVID, you know, we are all exhausted. We, the entire population of the planet, are exhausted with how many things we have to think about every day, and work and schedules and wiping down the handle at the grocery store and things like that. You know, we're just exhausted. And I think the only people that are really happy about this are the people doing the scams, because they're using that exhaustion to get into our pocketbook, and it is working. The scams have increased. I don't have any strong numbers on it, but I know they've at least doubled since the pandemic started, because people will do anything, and they get an alert, and they get an email, they get a pop-up, and they're so tired they just don't think about it. And that's what people have to do, is stop a second before you click on that email. Like we talked about this here, if you get an email from somebody saying, hey, here's the pictures from my vacation, and let's say it came from Scott Watley, but you know Scott Watley's not on vacation because he's doing the radio show right now in Denver, right? So why would Scott Watley send you pictures of his vacation? So you don't click on the link. It's kind of common sense when you think about it, but at the very second you see it, you go, huh, that's weird, let me click on it. And the second you click on it, it could download a virus or spyware to your computer. And it doesn't pop up and say, we just downloaded a virus to your computer. You know, it goes on there, and it's going to get more embedded. And probably the next couple days, it'll become more prevalent. You'll get all these pop-ups on your computer. But we're just so tired, we just don't think about something before we push the magic button that gets us into a lot of trouble. Yeah. And that's why I mentioned a minute ago this program called Malware Bytes. It's a free program. I tell people, if you ever do that, because this is going to happen, you're going to click on the link right when you know you shouldn't have clicked on the link. And you're going to say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. What am I supposed to do? Well, if you have Malware Bytes on your computer, you just open it and scan it right away. And that'll get the stuff off your computer, hopefully, that's in there. And it's in the memory, so it's not deep into your hard drive yet. And maybe you can wipe it out before it wipes you out. So get that Malware Bytes on your computer.
Now, as far as phone calls, I mean we get them for our car warranty. We get them for everything. But, man, I've had them. Somebody, you know, I'm from Microsoft or whatever. Yeah. Your emails aren't coming to you right, and you need to pay us some money and all this. They're not going to call us, right?
They're not going to call you. To start with, Microsoft doesn't know your phone number, right? How do they know there's a problem with your computer if they don't know who you are and they don't know your phone number? You know, I read a statistic, something like 2.7 phone calls per day are scams coming to your home phone or your cell phone. 2.7 a day. You can count them almost. And then after you get three, you're done for the day. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But the latest one is Amazon. Some people are saying that Amazon is calling them, and there's a problem with your Amazon account. Mm-hmm. And, of course, everybody's using Amazon right now. So the person goes, oh, my gosh, what is it? Oh, your package isn't going to arrive. Oh, okay. Well, so then the person on the phone remotes into your computer to help you out with your Amazon account. Now, that doesn't make any sense if you look at it in hindsight. Amazon, if they're the ones who are calling you, they know what your account is. Why would they have to remote into your home computer to find out what the problem is, right? And but they just keep going on and on. Now, one of the things that you should be aware of is a foreign accent. Not that there's anything wrong with people with accents or people with other countries, but they tend to have call centers in these other countries, entire rooms of people running a scam. And it's hard, or it's impossible, for the United States to go prosecute those people because they're just too far away, too distant. It's not the FBI's jurisdiction. Things like that. So that's why the calls almost entirely come from another country. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things is, if you know somebody that you could tell that English isn't maybe their primary language, you want to have your ears perk up like, huh, what if this makes any sense? Why is Amazon calling me? I don't use Amazon. Okay. One of the interesting ones we had, I got a couple stories, but one of them was one of our clients got a call from Apple and said there was a problem with his iPhone. Okay. And again, Apple, as far as I know, in the history of Apple, has never called a person to say there's a problem with their iPhone, ever. So they say there's a problem with his phone. And then they had him go into his phone and disable notifications from his bank, which I thought was really interesting when he told me that. I said, why would they do that? He goes, well, then they had to go on my computer and fix my computer problem. I said, really? Apple's telling you to fix it on your Windows computer? Yeah, they went in there, and then they got in there, and they helped me open a Bitcoin account to buy some cryptocurrency. I was like, Apple wanted you to buy a open a cryptocurrency account. Did you do it? Yeah, I did it. I said, okay. And he kept going on and on. And the thing with scammers is the longer you're on the phone with them, the more you start to believe what they're saying. So if you just right away, you say, oh, yeah, the scam, and just hang up on them, you're out of it easily. But as you go further and further, it sounds so detailed. There's no way these people are lying to me. They know all these things. They know I own a computer at home. Well, everybody has a computer. They know I have a smartphone. Well, everybody has a smartphone. But this guy, he opened up a Bitcoin account, put in his credit card number, okay, into the account so you could buy Bitcoin for free or you know, without his approval. Now, sure. The criminal can buy a Bitcoin under their name. He didn't even know the name and the password for his Bitcoin account. And then Apple supposedly said to, hey, we got to copy your driver's license and your passport so we could finish this transaction to fix your phone. So he's at home Xeroxing his driver's license on a scanner and a passport with Apple on the phone. And then his wife comes home, who was a little smarter than the husband, and says, honey, what are you doing? Oh, it's Apple on the phone about my phone. She goes, what are you doing? He goes, well, I got to scan my passport, and then I got to do this, and I open this account on my computer. She goes, give me that phone. Gets the phone, you know, yells at the guy, hangs up, and, you know, unplugs the computer. Now, they still had, because they still have access to the computer, even if you just turn off your computer or close the screen on your laptop, the program's still on there, and they still have access to your computer. And if you unplug it, they won't. But they still had this Bitcoin account open. And I had to find, I did a search in his computer, found the password that the other people made, got into the account, and took his credit card off of there and closed the Bitcoin account. But this guy, in a half an hour on the phone, could have been taken for $100,000 easily. Not to mention identity theft. Now they've got his passport. But you've really got to keep an eye out for things. But if you go way back to step one, why on earth would Apple call me for a problem with my phone?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. So
really, we just all need to slow down a minute, take our time, and say, right. Okay. I had one guy call us one time with our Haystack Help phone line, and he said, I won this Canadian lottery. And I'm like, did you enter a Canadian lottery?
Right.
No. Well, you probably didn't win. People get checks in the mail for small amounts from phone companies. They say, hey, just, you know, and they cash that for $3 and something. And now they've got banking information. I mean, every angle, the crooks are getting smarter and smarter, aren't they?
Yeah. People are taking advantage of the fact we're exhausted. If you tell me what to do, I will just do it on my computer. I'll click there. I'll sign up for this. I'll give you my credit card or whatever. One more example. Do we have time for one more thing? Okay. So we had a client call me. His daughter called me at about 8 o'clock at night and said, hey, my dad just fell for a scam. Can you help him out? So she explained some things. And she said, well, he got a call from Microsoft saying Microsoft is going out of business. So because they've gone out of business and he's been such a good customer, they're going to give him a refund for the Microsoft software he has purchased. Okay, so it kind of slightly makes sense. But Microsoft is not going out of business, and they would never give you guys a refund for anything. So he kept listening to these people. He let them remote into the computer where they transferred money from his IRA to his savings account. And this lady said, yeah, my dad paid him $10,000. And I says, well, if it just happened yesterday, you just got to cancel the check and cancel your credit cards and you're going to be fine. She says, well, he paid it in cash. And I said, how did you pay $10,000 in cash over your computer? Well, they told him that the best thing to do is to transfer the money to his checking account, go to the bank, take it out in cash, in $100 bills, put it in a FedEx envelope, and stick it in the mailbox and send it to Microsoft in California. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he sent $10,000 in cash to a fraud person. But it all started with the original thing that kind of made sense, that he's going to get a refund. But he has to pay the $10,000 to get the $12,000 refund or something. Right? Think about that. Microsoft doesn't want to give you any money.
Sure.
If they're going bankrupt, they're going to keep the money. So none of it made any sense. But sometimes when people are tired and frustrated and they're just going to do whatever, they'll follow whatever direction somebody gives them on the phone.
Right. So how often should we – passwords are such a pain, man.
Yeah.
We've got so many different devices. I mean, what are your keys to coming up with good passwords? Yeah. What should they maybe not be?
Right.
And then – how do we just keep track? Where do you keep track of them if you can't remember them all?
Yeah, and you want to keep it somewhere safe, wherever you keep track of them. I've had people accidentally hand me the list of every password they have in their life on a piece of paper. I said, why are you giving me all this bank information? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give that to you. Don't just keep it in your day timer or your little black book or something like that, because if you lose that, you've lost your passwords and somebody else now has all your passwords. To start with, the policy is you should change your password every year. And people do not like to hear that because I have like 250 passwords everywhere, from Smashburger to Taco Bell. You know, I've got a password for every account all over the city.
Right.
So you don't want to change those every year. The way I got around it is I paid my teenager to change my passwords every year because there's just too many. So I paid her to go through each one, and you have to log into the website and change this stuff. But you could put a number in there. Now, you don't want to put 2021 because everybody this year is putting 2021. Like if your password is Broncos, don't put Broncos 2021 because that's just too obvious. And I bet you 1,000 of your listeners right now, their password is Broncos. In Denver, a lot of people's password is Broncos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is just too easy of a password to have. So make up something that's easy, but you can kind of keep it similar across the board. So let's just say your favorite team in the world is Broncos. Make the O's zeros, BR0 and C0S, right? Broncos with zeros in it, because that's a word that's not in the dictionary. You never want to keep passwords that are in a dictionary, because you could test every word in the dictionary in 10 minutes with a password cracker. Just try every word. And Broncos is in there, but BR0 is not in there.
Okay.
So make a word with some numbers in there. A lot of companies now are putting a symbol in there, so you could put a hashtag or an ampersand or some symbol on your computer. And then after that, you can put the name of the website you're on. That way you have 26 different passwords, or many different passwords. So let's say it's Broncos! Chase for Chase Bank. Broncos! Wells for Wells Fargo. Something like that. That way you have 26 different passwords that are unique from each other. And that way in your mind, you kind of got an idea about probably what the password is. But I use something called LastPass. 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 And it's a free program that tracks all your passwords. Okay. And you want to be careful. You do have a master password that you type in there. Mine's like 25 letters long that no way in the planet's going to get into
mine. So you make it like Pentagon clearance.
Right.
Heavy.
Yeah. You make it. No, but it could be even a sentence like that.
Right.
Like the word Pentagon clearance, !2021, heavy. !
Right.
You make it just like a long sentence, so there's no way anybody's going to get that password. And the cool thing about that is you could put it on your computer, multiple computers, and your phone. So when my wife is at Chick-fil-A and can't remember her Chick-fil-A password, I pull up our account on my phone, and I read her the password for her Chick-fil-A discount or whatever. So that's a program called LastPass. It's either LASS or LAST.
We'll check during the break.
Yeah, it's one of those things, but it keeps track of all your passwords in there, and it'll remind you, too, hey, you haven't changed this password in 2 years. You should do that. So that's a good way to keep track of stuff.
All right, great. More with Scott Hinke, On-Site Consulting, coming up after the break. Again, their office is located at 6446 Hamden Avenue, just right off I-25 in Hamden. Their number is 720-482-8383. Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. A few more minutes here with Scott Hinke of On-Site Consulting. Boy, a lot to know about our computers. We're going to try to get Scott in every once in a while to help us out with all of these issues. And we were talking about the password, when to change all that. So it is LastPass, LastPass. And again, if you need help, you can call Scott, 720-482-8383. Now, I mentioned earlier, for those maybe in their senior years or whatever, I had to get my dad an iPhone during all the, he wanted one, 86 years old, and boy, that's a lot of fun when they're in Texas and you're trying to explain over the, as you well know. But there are a few programs out there, if some people maybe want to look into some classes or different things, even during this pandemic, or is that pretty rare?
Yeah, so I've taught classes for 25 years at different places. Used to teach through Denver Public Schools, had a thing called Denver Community Schools, and I taught, that's how I started basically 25 years ago. Loved it. I love teaching people brand new things that they never, ever, ever imagined was possible and how to do on their computer. So I still teach at a place, you guys could look it up, it's called the Academy of Lifelong Learners, Academy LL, hamdenandmonaco.org. And it's over at Hamden and Monaco. Well, that's where they used to be when they had a building. Now they're doing it all virtually. So you can go online there and take not just classes on computers, but the Holocaust, how to read poetry, how to do art, how to play bridge. Really a lot of interesting stuff. So that's one place that's local called the Academy of Lifelong Learners. And then there's another place that's a national place called Senior Planet. Senior Planet. And they are all across the United States. They got some kind of massive grant. We're not talking like $1 million. We're talking like a $1 billion grant to help seniors get to understand their computers and technology more. So they have 90% of the classes are computer oriented. Okay. Everything from how to use Word, how to use an iPad, how do you buy an iPad. And it's all 100% free. And you just have to go on there and sign up.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the different types of people you can help. First of all of us as individuals with laptops, but also companies, right? If they if they've got an office building, and up to how many computers can you work with?
Well, we usually everybody's got their sweet spot. We don't want to say we do everything. So usually like 30 computers or less is what we help with.
Okay.
And people with servers, we do things like that. We help some companies all across the United States with their computer systems across the United States. And office computers are the same as home computers. They have the exact same problems. You have the same Windows 10 issues. That's why you have to restart them often. You have the same problems with fraud. Instead of just you at home losing all your money, the entire company is going to lose all their money, mm-hmm. right? So it's just on a bigger scale when you have companies. But we also have a refurbished showroom, so we sell computers at half price of what a brand new computer would be, put a warranty on there and stuff like that too. So we're able to help a lot of seniors. So seniors, I mean, like you mentioned, your dad is older. He doesn't need a $900 brand new Dell computer.
Sure.
He needs a computer that checks his emails, and that's it. And, you know, we've got computers from $150. So for some seniors, we could really help them out with something that they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let's touch on cell phones just for a minute, because, boy, those are mini computers we all hold in our hands. It's amazing what phones can do today. Do you guys work within that, or is mainly your business laptops? Because there may be some people that just generally work on phones.
Yeah. No, we work on phones, too. We don't sell new phones. We fix phones. So if you have a problem, we can fix all the stuff, screens and so forth. I think the biggest client of broken iPhone screens is my daughter, who has broken five screens in the past year and a half of her brand new iPhone. So five screens per year for my daughter. She wins the award. So thank goodness I own a company that could fix the screen. Otherwise, I'd be going ballistic. But we help people with things like there's broken ports, batteries in phones. You know, after about 2 or 3 years, you're going to notice your battery only lasts maybe 3 hours. You got to plug it in. So instead of buying a new phone, everybody wants to buy a new phone, but instead of that, you spend $40 and put a battery in your phone, and you got your phone back again.
Okay.
So we advise people with some of that on phones, but mostly screens and things, you know, both iPhones and Android. So the two big, I think there's only two in the whole world, is iPhones and Android. I don't even know if BlackBerry still exists anymore. I saw it on a movie the other day, but BlackBerry might be there. I'm not sure. But, you know, iPhones tend to be a little bit more impervious to viruses and spyware because, like I said about Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. he kind of filtered everything.
Sure.
Like everything has to go through Apple. So if you get a virus on an Apple, it has to go through like a lot of processes for you to get some kind of program running on your iPhone. So it's less frequent on an iPhone, but on Android, it's way more prevalent. So you could download something that says, you know, learn how to beat your friend in Scrabble, and you download this program. Well, guess what? That's a virus. It doesn't say virus in the name of the program, but you're more prone to get that. And also in Android, you tend to see what are these things called banner bars at the top or the bottom of your phone that say click here or you know, your phone is running too slow. You should click here to optimize it. And you think that's something from your phone, but that's an advertisement on the bottom of your Scrabble game that you're playing. So they tend to get viruses a lot more than iPhones do.
Yeah. And what, when you see these banners pop up, you want a $500 gift card at Walmart.
That's crazy. Nobody wins a $500 card from Walmart. Nobody.
So just don't click on, whether it's phone, laptop, whatever, iPad, don't click on garbage stuff, right?
Yeah. And speaking of Walmart, which is a great company, but they tend to be the middleman for a lot of frauds. So like one of these people that had one of these scams, they said, hey, we have to pay, you know, $5,000 to Microsoft so they'll release my email account. But I have to pay for it with a Walmart gift card. Now, just think about this. There's no way in the world Microsoft only deals with Walmart gift cards to pay its employees and things like that. they deal with cash. So another thing that doesn't make any sense. So whenever anybody says something that doesn't make any sense, just say, hey, I'll call you back, or don't call me anymore, or whatever. But don't fall for the scam. You'll get caught.
Absolutely. Once again, it's On-Site Consulting, 720-482-8383. And again, this is not just a guest, and I just wanted to, I mean, as far as we don't know them, we have used Scott Henke and On-Site Consulting for many, many years, and highly, highly recommend, endorse, whatever you want to say. They do it right, and they will take care of you. And, I mentioned remotely, you guys can, most of the time we can call you, tell you what the problem is.
Right.
You can enter in our computer right there from your office to our office or home and take care of it.
Right. We enjoy doing that. We don't have to leave anywhere. We don't have to get COVID tested before we go to your house or after we go to your house. You know, we could remote in, and we technicians know that we can do that. Consumers don't think we could fix things. No, you have to be sitting in front of my computer to fix it. We don't have to. We can see your screen from where we are, and we could fix it for a lot less money. And one thing about remotes, keep this in mind too, don't ever let anybody remote into your computer. Don't let Microsoft remote your computer, because it's not Microsoft. Don't let Apple. Don't let Amazon. That's the good policy to have. Don't let a stranger remote into your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Scott, a lot of great information. And again, man, we appreciate all you've done for us over the years. And let's try to do this every once in a while, and where you can help our listeners, because, man, there's so many scams out there, and we just need to all stop and just be reminded about them, and to keep us from messing up.
That's true.
Absolutely. Well, once again, it is Scott Henke, On-Site Consulting, 720-482-8383. And again, if you're a small business out there and you're looking for someone to oversee your whole computer system, highly recommend Scott. And again, you can give him a call, 720-482-8383. And they're located 6446 Hamden Avenue. So thanks for being with us today on Haystack Help. We appreciate it. Hope you have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.